from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon, and next to me
is Ara.
And we've got Andrew running the board in the back over there. Hi, Andrew.
There we go.
There, hello.
Like he moves his mouth to the mic as if he's going to say hi. I'm going to get him to do it one of these days.
You know what I just realized, actually?
What's that?
Were you aware that this is a AAA show?
The AAA? No, I realize that all the time. Not only that, it's two names that nobody's heard before, and then Andrew.
Well, yeah. We're a lot more special than he is.
Yeah, exactly. You should see the weird spellings we get when we get emails. We got to talk about emails today. Man, there's been a lot. Anyway, first of all, here's what we're going to talk about today's show. We've got a bunch of stuff. We have to cover listener email because we got a ton of it based on the topic last week, which of course means we're going to relive that topic.
I was really impressed about not only how much comments that we generated, but actually how thoughtful most of them were.
Yeah, you were excited at the fact that our listeners aren't complete dolts.
Yes, thank you everybody for being very smart.
Yeah, you wonder about the caliber of the listener sometime, but really I think we've got top-notch thinkers, at least the ones who take the time to email us.
Yeah, it was really, really awesome.
Yeah, and even when we get people complaining about us, they're well thought out. So
except for that one guy a couple weeks ago, but everyone else, really awesome.
Someone emailed Ara. It must have been someone like that didn't like him from childhood or something. It was really funny. I'll try to dredge up that email. So we're going to cover a few of those because I think they're valid. And we'll talk about them, and that's about the stories in games. And well, if you listened to last week, you remember, and if not, go listen. Show 138. I have a topic that I've been trying to flesh out basically as the show is about to start, because I only conceived of it about an hour before I came to the station while I was looking at certain things online. And so we're going to cover that. And there's a couple other things, like the PS3. I read a bit about how the developers don't even have the network specs yet, and that's why no games are online.
Not surprising.
Yeah, but they're talking about expanding everything and free to everyone and internet capabilities and all this jazz, and I guess we could do a whole show about how Sony has their head crammed right up their ass, but I don't know where we would go with it. Anyway, you've got some stuff you want to talk about as well.
Right on.
All right. I'm trying to think of how to open the show here. Like, I haven't been playing much this week. I'm trying to get my house ready to sell. Like, I've been really busy.
Yeah, well, you know,
gaming-related things have not been in my life lately.
You know, Rockstar released a press release today about their new game, L.A. Noire, or maybe it's called La Noire.
Yeah, I read about, well, I noticed it was coming out. I didn't read much else.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of interesting because, the team who's developing this game is called Team Bondi, which I guess is their first game, right? But, the director of that team is a guy named Brendan McNamara. And if you don't have the strange obsession with, names and credits like I do, then you won't recognize him. But basically, he was the director on The Getaway. And I thought that was kind of funny because, for those who don't remember, The Getaway was, at least to me, his way of telling the world that video game life bars have no place in the corner of their screen. They're much better represented as magical bloodstains on your character's back that grow and shrink.
Is that what happens? Is that how you know that you're dying?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, like, it was really interesting because there was this interview on some magazine some time ago around when the game was coming out. And basically, he was like, look, we believe that, gamers are mature enough that, they don't have to deal with childish things like, life bars or really, like, anything externally represented as, like, kind of like this graphical indicator.
I don't need a gameplay indicator.
Well,
getting in the way of my experience.
Right. So, the much better thing to do clearly is to, because your character has to have like some amount of life. You can only take so many hits. So, let's have this blood stain on the guy's back and let's make it like grow and shrink, as you get hurt or as you heal. And, that's way better. Let's look at some kind of like muffled red on the guy's back.
I want to talk about The Getaway here too, because this is an interesting thing about that game that
basically I mean, I'm being kind of like a little vague about this, right? But basically, like, I mean, that whole game was about like no explicit interface graphics. Like, we can convey everything we want to the user without the use of anything like the health bars.
Okay, but come on.
Blah, blah, blah.
We understand why, right? They were trying to recreate a movie experience. And now here's where what I'm trying to say comes into play.
Go ahead.
I mean, is that okay with you that they tried to – you think that they went off base and they should have had the indicators?
Yes, because the funny thing is that they had the indicators. They just put them in such a stupid place that they were just less visible, right? I mean, they kind of like – you can't get around – I mean, if your character only has a couple hits or a certain amount of hits before you die and there's like – conceptually this idea of dying in the game,
yeah,
then I mean you have to represent some metric of that on the screen. And are you going to do that in a way that's clear to the user,
or are you going to do that in an obfuscated way? I don't think it necessarily has to be on the screen. It would be nice if you could feel it.
Right, but the thing is that like all of these, pretty much whenever anyone tries to do it in a way where you can kind of like mysteriously, mystically feel it, right, basically the mechanism of feedback is invariably less precise than just doing something a lot more straightforward.
It's an adolescent concept. That's the only issue. That's why. Give them some time to flesh it out. Get some electrical zappers in there.
You know, I mean, unless we get, like, you know, the mind meld interface or whatever with the games, I mean, there's just no way around this.
I was actually thinking of a bodysuit that could inflict tolerable pain on the user just this
you
week.
You would.
Just this week. Now, I was thinking of a bodysuit, and just what I was thinking of is actually how to build the actual pieces that would create the pain. And it was funny. Anyway, we could talk about that in another show if someone's interested. But here's what I wanted to say about The Getaway, because this is really interesting to note, although it's completely unrelated to what you brought up, sort of. I'm saying that their interface scheme for that,
right,
trying to get away from the standard graphical indicators, is because they wanted to make it like a movie. And why did they want to make it like a movie? Well, there was all this hype about it. Before it came out, they're like, this game is so much like the movie. Look at the characters in the game. They look just like they're real-life actors. Just like it. And they had... You know, because the game is based on a movie called The Getaway with all these actors that they took all the face mapping and stuff and they put it on the game. They spent a ridiculous amount of time on this game making it very real, very like London and very like the movie. And if you recall, you've never seen the movie because it's been 6 years.
I didn't even realize there was a movie, actually.
Yeah, because it never came out. Not only there's been a sequel to it, it still hasn't come out.
Wow.
All right, so that game, they spent so much time hyping it up and making it to be like the movie and spending probably millions of dollars to get this to happen and getting the voice actors and, you know, actors from the actual movie into the game and stuff. And then the movie never happened.
So what do you think? This was like some way of like, you know, whoever was responsible for that actually just getting the product out one way or the other?
No, I mean, I think that was legitimate when they were working on it. And then for whatever reason, I don't know the backstory of the movie production, uh-huh, but the movie never happened. But they said, well, we've got this game that we spent millions of dollars on. Too bad. It's not actually very good. It's got enough hype. Let's release it. And I just think it's really funny. And they apparently thought it was good enough to make a sequel. I couldn't even get through like the second level of that game.
I didn't even play the sequel.
But I just thought that was fascinating that they put so much hype into it based off this movie, that the movie was going to be great. It's going to be amazing. And it never came out.
It was fantastically hyped. I do remember that part.
And it reminds me very much of The Italian Job, which came out originally as a $10 PlayStation game. One of those little $10 jobs that nobody plays.
Right.
And then the movie came out. It came out same title, totally different game. You know, full price and all that, right? The Italian Job, little $10 disc. But then the Hollywood movie came out, and they decided it was worth a new game.
That was really weird, too.
Yeah. And I mean, that's sort of an interesting interjection. But the Getaway thing has fascinated me for years. I never talk about it because I forget. It's not a big deal. But it's funny. And I'll leave it at that. I guess you didn't even know it was a movie. That's funny to me, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it, actually.
I'm wondering
floating around somewhere.
Where you stumbled upon this little nugget.
The magazines talked about it. They showed the real actors. They showed pictures of them, and they said, look at the real actor. Look at their model. Look, they're the same. It's going to be some giant Hollywood blockbuster.
Wow.
Like, it never happened.
Guess I missed that issue.
No, it was. I think it was like official PlayStation magazine, like PSM or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't some, you know, little import magazine where they have fake news and stuff. Like, that's what I just think it was interesting. Anyway, there's been all this TGS, the Tokyo Game Show news lately, and I've managed to whiz right over it.
Literally?
Yeah, I just, like, none of it's especially interesting to me, because it's all just, like, gameplay videos and, oh, this game and that game. Like, I want to know about the hardware and how it's going to run and all that stuff. What's interesting is how Sony's consistently screwing themselves. I did get a number today. I read, I think in Kotaku, they said that the Wii is supposed to have 1 million units in North America.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit flaky to me right now, the source. It was only someone working at Nintendo, you know. But they say 1 million units, and I'm happy to hear that. I kind of would like a little bit more. They've never broken that 1 million unit barrier. But that's probably going
to
be enough.
Hey, it's tough to make hardware.
I mean, do you think...
As we can see.
Do you think on day one, with the Xbox 360 that had half that amount, I think they even added less. Do you think if they had twice as many, it would have fulfilled demand? Because I remember, like, when I was standing at the Target, you know, the Target that screwed me last year.
Yeah.
There were 12 people who were going to get systems, supposedly. Even the ones with tickets didn't get a systems. But so the 12 people, and I know that more than 24 came to the store. So I'm wondering if twice that will actually satisfy demand.
Here's the interesting thing about that, though, is that, like, didn't, I mean, all the hype and all the restricted amounts of the product that they had for that thing, didn't they kind of, like, isn't that kind of a cause pretty much everyone who wanted one to kind of, like, converge on the same day, right?
Well, yeah, that's the beauty of opening day. You can actually get one instead of waiting 6 months.
So, you know, I think if they had more product like that, they probably would have covered it and it wouldn't have been as big a deal.
And that's what we're saying. All right, we're going to come back after this break and talk about stuff that might even be interesting. Give us a call, 866-536-1100.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
My name's Alon.
And we've got Andrew back there, master of the sound effects.
He plays the ads for UAT. I don't know if anybody here has gone to uat.edu, but it's where you learn about the University of Advancing Technology. It's where I went, and I know that we have at least one listener recently started attending in the fall. I think Nameless Ted.
Yeah.
And I was excited to see that.
And we got email from one of your ostensible compadres.
Yeah, see, I don't know if we can believe that. It's a very, very weirdly written email this week.
You think he's stalking you?
I just don't know what it's all about. He says he's from UAT, and I was like, all right, that's cool. But I couldn't understand a word of what he was trying to say in the email. You guys, when you write us emails, I think you need to do, like, just a visual grammar check before it comes to me, because I have a hell of a hard time trying to understand what you say when, like, your use of homonyms it's difficult to understand, is what I'm saying. Lack of punctuation, mispunctuation. It creates trouble. But I do my best. So when I recite them on air and you hear me stuttering, it's probably because of you, not me.
Maybe all the people who write in are from the Cormac McCarthy school of writing.
Yeah, I just know that I'm passing the buck. That's all. All right. So, do you want to go to the caller here that we have, or do you want to start jumping into?
You know what? Let's take this call and see what happens, and then we'll go on to more interesting things, hopefully.
All right, I want you to introduce, but you're kind of far from the screen, so I'll point out it's Derek.
All right, well, we've got Derek here.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Derek?
Good times.
Yeah, I'm having a good time, too. Thank you. I don't know about Ara.
I'm having a fantastic time.
He looks confused. Like, what's this guy going to say?
When I look confused, that's normal, so I'm just awesome right now.
All right, so what's up, Derek?
I basically wanted to know you guys' thoughts on the PS3 with the recent Tokyo Game Show.
You know, and this is what I was just saying.
Well, we didn't go to Tokyo Game Show.
It's
what was
true.
The play? Oh, yeah, I mean, like, basically with the information you have at hand from different writers and whatnot.
Yeah. I've got to be honest. Like I was saying at the end of the last segment, I haven't paid enough attention to the TGS announcements and blogging things to form an incredibly valid opinion, but don't let it stop me. I can form an opinion with nothing. So, I was just telling Ara over the break that I found this note at Kotaku where, I guess one of the Kotaku editors found somebody else who wrote a blog. Anyway, it really goes down to the chain with this blogging stuff.
We should just write another blog about blogs.
To be honest, I can't. That would be good, actually. A blog of blogs. I'm sure it happens too. So I can't quite understand.
Yeah, it's called Most Blogs.
Yeah. I can't understand the content of what they're saying here. But here, the point they're trying to make is that, is this Kutaragi? Yeah, Ken Kutaragi, in his pre-TGS presentation, right, he gave a big speech about the PS3. And in it, he talks about the future and the intentions and makes all the promises of the system and the software backend and all that stuff, right? And apparently someone compared it to 6 years ago when he announced the PS2. And now, if you're a listener to the show, a consistent listener, you've probably heard me bitch about Sony's, you know, grand statements and promises with all of their systems and how they never follow through. So I can't get hyped about their stuff anymore because you know that they're always lying, which is, you know, case is proven with all their PS3 announcement, how it was going to have, you know, two Ethernet ports and two HDMI adapters. And then they split
it up
into two
systems.
Wait, it
doesn't have two HDMI adapters?
Two ports.
Graphics.
Ports. Yeah, like it was going to have all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then they
took
it out.
That's what I'm excited about. Two screens, man.
Yeah, but then they cut that out. No, we're
all right,
not going to have
I'm boycotting them. That's it.
But then they said we're going to have the $500 system, and it's not going to have HDMI. And last week they promised, okay, now it will have HDMI. Like, they're constantly going back and forth, and I'm thinking, this is a system you're putting millions of dollars into. Why? You really, really should have this decided ahead of time. And then I just read today that the developers don't even have the specs on making networked games. And, I mean, network isn't new. They've been thinking about this online thing for a long time. Hell, they've got it in place for the PS2 already. Like, what the hell is making it so hard to give their developers the ability to make an online game?
I'm impressed you're following this so closely, because I'm just like, you know, whatever.
Dude, this is my daily ritual.
It's either they're holding back on their information like Nintendo is.
No, I think they're really confused. Or... I think they're chickens with their heads cut off. I honestly think they don't know what they're doing. I think the fact that they added the controller, what is it called? The tilt sensing, right? The tilt sensing in the controller.
The DualShock?
Yeah, the six-axis of evil controller. Right? The tilt sensor in the thing right at the end, they didn't tell anybody until 3 weeks before E3. They added that out of nowhere.
It's just chaos.
All right, so anyway, this thing that I'm reading, the blog bit, is talking about how basically he made all these promises, and then if you compare that tall order to the speech he just gave at TGS, is essentially the same speech. And I find that fascinating. Unfortunately, I think the blog article is written so poorly that I don't understand the actual content. Like, he tries to compare it and show me bits from 2000 and then 2006, but I can't tell what's from 2000 and what's from 2006.
Maybe it's some kind of just like chicanery to make it look more dramatic.
I don't know, but I'm sure it's true.
There's not enough sensationalism in this industry.
I don't know how many press junkets you've been to, like GDC and stuff. I know you've been to a bunch because you used to work for a magazine.
Too many.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Ara used to work for Tips and Tricks. We've mentioned that a couple times. And so anyway, like they're huge grandiose statements, and it just pisses me off in the end. And that's why, like I said, Derek, I don't pay attention anymore. So I don't know enough about what they actually talked about at TGS, but it seems like actually there are a couple games people are interested in, like that dragon game. Do you know what it's called?
Lair.
Dragon Lair?
Just Lair. L-A-I-R.
Oh, just Lair. Okay.
And the Kotaku guy was talking about how it's great. And this made me think about the topic that I wanted to cover later today too. And I'll get into that later. I want to sort of keep it a secret until I flesh it out a bit more. But I'm thinking about now maybe they do have some good games for the system. And I don't know. I'm waiting to see. But for the most part, it's a bunch of stuff that I really don't care about. And maybe a couple of games. So I'm glad that my friend is going to buy the system so I can play his. And I'll just tell him what to buy. What do you think, Derek? What did you think their showing was like?
Their keynote was horrible. I mean, it was basically just a bunch of irrelevant mumbo-jumbo from Kutaragi as usual, but...
Well, does anyone get excited about keynotes, really? I mean, like, yeah?
Not exactly, because it's, especially when they're showing games, like, I think the concentration is more on what, like, the games on the show floor more than what, you know, the company is trying to tell the consumers, I guess.
What I'm all about.
I'm always turned on by that keynote hype.
Yeah.
They always do some really big announcements, at least the ones that I've been to. I don't know if TGS was similar. I don't know if it flows the same way as Game Developers Conference does.
You like that one with Miyamoto coming out and with the Link costume and swinging the sword around?
See, I missed that.
Yeah, I missed it too,
I'm a little
upset
that I missed the conference this year. But actually, this year it was the Symphony thing. Nintendo always does a good job at hyping everybody up, but they also back it up. Like, they always have content and real things. Last year kind of pissed us off without talking about the Revolution. But Sony has some incredible ideas. They have great R&D and they have great industrial design. You can see it in all of their products.
Except for font design.
And the battery.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things that clearly have gone wrong, right? And, you know, the square button not working properly on the PSP. Like, there are some hints of problems. But for the most part, they do really great things. Like, even my Sony PDA, I'm just, wow. Every time I use it, it's like, wow, there's an interesting feature that I hadn't noticed before. Of course, I haven't used it in a couple years. But the point is, they do some really great things. And anytime you look at a Sony product, you know it's great. But with this PS3, they're forcing themselves to release it earlier than they would really want to because of the general video game hardware timeline that exists.
Yeah.
And because Microsoft is, you know, kicking their ass, getting it out a year ahead of time.
Isn't that always the pressure, though? I mean, it's always like this weird game of like, oh, if we release it too early, then, well, we're unprepared. But then you have the advantage of kind of having like little extra months of momentum. And if you release it too late, well, then it's kind of like the opposite thing.
Well, here's the thing. You remember what happened with the Dreamcast? It was weird. Yeah. Like, are you a fan of the Dreamcast, Derek?
Yes.
All right. Most people are, right? And it's because there's a very strange situation in gaming history with the Dreamcast. We remember that Sega released the Saturn, and they did it a little bit ahead of time. You know what? And that was actually a surprise launch. They didn't even tell anybody. It just came out some May.
Wasn't it like almost a year before?
It was several months at least. I don't remember exactly, but they definitely it was a surprise release. Nobody even knew it was coming.
Yeah, there's no hype at all. It was just like,
yeah, but weird. The Dreamcast was like a mid-generation. It didn't have a bunch of other people competing with the same level of technology. It was either way ahead of stuff or way behind the PS2. Well, way behind the PS2. Behind enough that it was a significant leap. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back.
And then I got a special topic I want to talk about.
We got more. Thanks for calling in, Derek. We appreciate the call. And more smart callers, 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Everybody, that is
wow.
According to Kotaku, anyway, it's like apparently the number two Swedish song right now, and it's all about sitting on a Ventrio server talking and poning the noobs at Defense of the Ancients, a Warcraft 3 mod.
After this, I'm going to go home and write some techno.
And according to, I think it was on Joystick, I first noticed this, right? They said that they wanted to put up the first video they saw from this guy, but they couldn't because it wasn't video game related. All it is, it's talking about a bot named Anna in an IRC channel. And it's like, she can ban you hard. She can come down with the ban hammer and, like, she can kick you. And I'm like, that's IRC. And it's this, it's techno talk, it's techno song with just total nerd talk. And he's out there in the club jamming. I guess he's some great DJ or something.
Yeah, I wish you could show this ridiculous video over the air.
It was so good. So you should hit up Kotaku or Joystick right now and watch the video. It's both of them. Watch the bot, Anna, and this one about Dota, which is Defense of the Ancients. Yeah. It's fantastic stuff.
It's as my friend would say, ridiculous.
Yeah, it was good enough to bump the mini boss's music off the air for a little bit. All right, so right before we went to break, I was talking about the Dreamcast and its unique significance in the timeline of gaming hardware. And the point I'm trying to make here is that you've got the obvious progression of systems. We had Nintendo versus Sega, you know, Nintendo Entertainment System versus Sega Master System. Then you had Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, where Sega had realized they came into it a year late with the Sega Master System, but it was virtually identical technology, right?
So let's go. So they're like, next time, I mean, after Saturn, let's go in way early.
Yeah. Well, it was Sega Genesis, right? They went in pretty early compared to the Super Nintendo. In fact, they got like a year jump on them.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
And so after that was the next one. We're looking at, they added all sorts of junk on it. You know, the 32X and all that jazz. But eventually they came out with the Saturn, and they sort of jumped the gun on that one, trying to beat out the upcoming PlayStation and Nintendo's next big thing. And Nintendo waited a year, right? But still, their 64-bit technology, whatever, didn't compare. It wasn't too much better in terms of technology because of the whole CD-ROM versus cartridge thing. It was pretty comparable in terms of style and release to players that 3D was being made on the systems for the first time, whether it's the Nintendo or the Sony PlayStation or the Sega Saturn. It was 3D, and so really, it was about the same technology in people's eyes. That's the point I'm making, right? Same technology, system. Then comes, out of the blue, Sega Dreamcast. They're not jumping the gun by 1 year. They jumped it by 2 years. Now, here's why that's important. 2 years is a long enough time for someone like Sony to develop the PlayStation 2, which is significantly greater in terms of power than the Dreamcast was. And a lot of people say a lot of Dreamcast games look just as good as some PlayStation 2 games. And they did. They were very clean-looking games. But, you know, it didn't have the power that the other systems have that came 2 years later. And so it has this place in our hearts as this thing that was this great advance over current technology. But it also is not nearly as good as the technology that it was being compared to at the time, because it was, you know, Dreamcast versus PlayStation 2 wasn't as good. But while it was Dreamcast versus Nintendo 64 and PlayStation, it was way better. And no other system really shares that. Like, the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox are very comparable. There's not one that really beats it out. They're just going against each other like all the other systems. But the Dreamcast was by itself in this little nook and cranny of gaming history.
You know what's the most shameful thing about it for me?
What?
Which also incidentally happened to be the same thing for the Saturn for me, which was that, like, all my favorite games didn't come out in this country on those consoles.
Yeah, well, there's certain consoles that really thrived in Japan where all the cool stuff came out elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen as much these days. But, like, really depends on the dominant console. PlayStation 2 has a bunch of cool stuff that we don't get. But I was looking at a bunch of Sega Saturn games that I have, a bunch of Japanese Sega Saturn games, and I was like, oh, whoa. I gotta show Ara these. He'll be interested.
Yeah, like, which ones you got?
I got, like, Convenience Store Simulator, and I got all these shooting games that I'm sure you have anyway, but,
yeah, probably.
You know, I've got them sitting there, oh, I forgot about all those.
you know, those aren't real games now, according to some of our
not these days.
Listeners. So.
All right, so I think maybe we should go... See, I had this other thing I want to talk about. We're going to... Let's talk about the emails that we got.
Yeah.
My Dreamcast discussion. I just thought it's important for us to note. You know, look back on history and don't let it happen again. I had to talk about how it relates to PS3. Right.
Okay.
So, the Xbox 360 came out, but it was only a year in advance of the PS3. So, Sony's scared. They realize their technology isn't that much greater than the Xbox 360, so they have to release it 1 year afterwards.
Well, indeed, like, the technological differences, at least perception-wise, are kind of just getting, you know, smaller and smaller jumps.
Yeah, the PS3 does have some features that the Xbox 360 doesn't. And I think it's going to have...
Oh, no question. But
it's just technically more advanced in some areas. But now with the GPU taking over so much of the power, like, who cares that it's got to sell? Because the GPU does all the work that we care about. Because that's what we look at, and we all care so much about graphics. But if they waited 2 years, they would be seen as a next generation. It would be something that's supposed to be way better than the 360. If they waited 2 years, they'd be screwed because they wouldn't be that much better. And people would be really pissed off. So they're being forced to do it in 1 year. And honestly, if they had a way to make it significantly more powerful, like put a better GPU in there by waiting an extra year, I think that would have been a smarter move for them to go into, like, Dreamcast territory, where nobody else is going to be competing with them because they're going to have such better technology. It's going to be... I guess it didn't work out for the Dreamcast in the end, so maybe it's not a good idea.
On the other hand, like, there weren't that many great games for Dreamcast. I mean, there were some really great games, but, like, you know, I guess like, right, I'm going to take back what I said. I guess there weren't, like, a lot of, like, big sellers, really, and I think that's what did the Dreamcast.
Yeah, well, you're attracted to games that aren't generally huge sellers.
Yeah, I'm attracted to small-selling games,
yeah,
apparently.
But, I don't know, like, maybe they could have pulled off. And the Dreamcast had all these hurdles. It was, you know, breaking into online, out of the box, and all these things it was trying to do. So it certainly had some hurdles to success. But obviously we all loved it. It did some really great things, but you know what? It had nothing to do with the Dreamcast. Like, you can make Crazy Taxi, you can make Power Stone on all these other systems, and it's just for some reason people had this burst of inspiration on the Dreamcast. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's they were finally used to making 3D, or maybe it's because it was easy to program for.
I wonder if it was a cheaper development platform, actually.
I don't know. You know how we could run Windows CE? That was weird.
Yeah. You know what the first thing I did when I got my Dreamcast, that little logo they put on the front?
Yeah.
The Windows CE powered by?
Yeah.
Sanded that right off.
Yeah. Interesting. So I'm curious what would have happened if the PS3 waited, got a little bit more powerful, took their time, decided if it was going to have an HDMI port or not, you know, did their due diligence instead of screwing around and getting it released early and kicking themselves in the ass.
It's obvious that they really feel pressured to do something real quick. You know?
But the thing is, they're really not releasing until next year. They're coming out with a few this year to sort of, like, whet the appetites. And you're not going to see it until June. You're not going to be able to buy one until at least March, and probably June, which is what happened to the 360. You couldn't buy it for real until June. Now you can go into any store and get it, but it's literally been almost a year since it came out. By the way, do we know that... Yeah, I think I mentioned it last week, that they're refunding systems or system maintenance for the launch machines.
They are?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know this? If you got your machine fixed, if you sent it to Microsoft because it overheated or something broke, they've admitted that too many machines pre-January broke, and they're going to refund. And my friend John falls into this category.
Well, that's pretty cool.
He spent $128 to get it fixed. And then he bought another one because he didn't want to be without one for 2 weeks, and he sold the one that got fixed. He lost a ton of money on it.
You know what's really funny? The first Xbox 360 I bought, I ran out at lunch, and there's a table full of them. They had like 10 of them left. And I bought one, and I went back to work, and I plugged it in, and I get this, you know, that red error screen, and I'm like, all right, I'm going back right away. I go back there. There's like two left.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes later. So if it wasn't for that, I'd be in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the second one I got was just perfectly fine. So.
Well.
And they let me return it right then and there.
Well, of course. Since you don't actually play the machine, you don't know if it's still okay. It just sits there. You know, Ara has a 360 that sits on a shelf and never gets played.
I played it today. Now, I didn't play it for 3 months previous to this, but I did actually play it today.
I don't believe it. Did you play Xbox Live Arcade?
I played Ridge Racer 6.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Have you noticed that the Ridge Racer 1 through 7 are all exactly the same game?
They're
actually, I was reading
games,
on forums that Ridge Racers 2, for some reason called Ridge Racers 2 on the PSP, is the same as the first one.
It is not. It is not at all. I mean, there
on
are
the PSP.
There are. Oh, really?
Yeah, like the PSP number 2 is the same as PSP number 1.
Oh, well, I haven't played that one, but I mean, they're all actually quite different. They have a lot of subtle differences, which I'm not going to bore you with right now.
Because you're a driving fanatic, and I wouldn't recognize all the
differences. And even worse, Ridge Racer fanatic, so we don't need to go there.
Okay, so now we've used up all the time that I was going to talk about emails. We had one particularly good email that I wanted to read, and sometimes these can be hard to find. I got to figure out if I'm on the right page. Look at that, Saved by the Bell. All right, story versus gameplay. We're going to read some stuff. I'm going to read one to Ara. I haven't read it to him yet, and I think it's going to be interesting.
And hopefully we'll have some sound effects.
Yeah, or not. When we come back from the break, we'll have some emails.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara. We've got Alon here.
That's me.
And we've got Andrew doing something back there.
Trying to get me to promise not to plug UAT, but I deny it. I say, what a great place. UAT.edu, trying to get me to promise not to plug UAT, but I deny it. I say, what a great place. UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology. Everybody go there.
Where you went to school.
Be square. Yeah. That's kind of a fun place these days. If you're, into that scene.
What scene?
You gotta
that?
Know. Well, you gotta know what you're getting into. It's no party time ASU school.
Yeah. Don't go there and play like games all day long, because you'll fail.
Yeah. But a lot of people do.
And fail.
That's true. But I guess that happens at all schools.
Pretty
including
much.
Including ASU. All right. So ASU, by the way, is Arizona State University for those out of staters who couldn't figure that out on your own. So. There's a couple of emails I want to read. We got actually a bunch more emails than we've ever gotten before on any particular topic. The story play in games, or the story in games, story versus gameplay.
That's right.
Really, really hit a chord with some people. Maybe it's because I made it sound like I don't want story in a game, which I think it was a little bit overzealous. I mean, of course you like story. It's
but
just too often that it gets in the way.
Well, you're the master of zeal, so.
Yeah. Do I do that? Is that...
Well,
do
it's
I scare
an
you sometimes?
It's an important skill to master.
Well, it is if you're going to be hosting a radio show, I think.
Indeed.
So let me read this email, which I don't think has too many grammar errors. We'll find out. So Michael writes us, and he says, story versus gameplay. Story is required for a good game. If you only play games that... Okay, maybe there are some grammar errors. If you only play games that only focus on gameplay, you are not a true gamer. You are an arcade gamer. You kept on mentioning games like Geometry Wars and other Xbox Live arcade games as true games. But those are PopCappy, which, by the way, is a trademark name, so shouldn't have any adjective-type meaning.
And what would you call those games before that company was around?
Those are PopCappy and games that my mom could play. Course means they're bad games if mom plays them. As a hardcore gamer, I find that insulting. Also, your comment of fighting games as a nice mix of story and gameplay is insane. I think there's some things we need to be clear on.
There's a lot of things we need to be clear on.
I could be a bit sarcastic, a little bit facetious sometimes. Like, I think that's important for us to face up. You need to understand that. The tone in my voice, maybe it doesn't come through. Maybe I'm dry sometimes. But, all right. So he didn't like my comment of fighting games having a nice mix of story.
Actually, you know what I was surprised by? I mean, like, what's this need to, compartmentalize and categorize? Like, you're not this type of gamer. You're that type of gamer. I mean... They're all games. I think this really completely missed the point of what I was trying to say.
Oh, dude, that's natural human behavior. You just need to accept
and
move
on.
You
know what? This is true, but it's still
we're all apes. Anyway, he follows up by saying, you challenged Ara to name a single successful game with a deep story, and he only named the Final Fantasy series. I can name many more. That was amazing that you brought up the topic and didn't have examples. Shame.
Well, wait a minute. It was because the examples weren't relevant to what I was talking about. That's why I was...
Oh, well, now, wait a second. I think we should always have examples of our cases.
Well, sure, but I mean, the point that I was making was like not referring to like a specific game, so that's why. Anyway.
All right.
Do you want to know what his examples are?
He's not questioning. He's just saying.
Okay.
But these are some fine examples. He says Jade Empire. I understand that has a storyline behind it. KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic. Never played it. I agree, though, I guess, because everybody else seemed to like it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just go with everybody else's experience here. Kingdom Hearts. Now, Kingdom Hearts. Wow. Going to read another email in a second about Kingdom
Hearts. Actually, before we get there, like, let me just address this a little bit. You know, there's... I think that there are some games with story that are really, really fantastic. I mean, like... You know, I think like Xenogears and Chrono Trigger. I don't even know if I mentioned those last.
Well, you mentioned Xeno Saga
episodes. Xenogears was like it was all downhill after Xenogears. Anyway, I mean, like you can have good games with good stories in them. You know, my whole point was that different media are best suited for different types of expressions.
Yeah, you're trying to make the point that if you want to watch a story, you're gonna watch it. You don't have to play it.
Right. Narrative is best suited for non-interactive media.
Yes, and I agree.
And, you know, a game per se is best suited, or I should say the video game as a media is best suited to, you know, for games, not for telling
action.
Stories.
Yeah, and I agree. Now, I'm not saying gameplay can enhance a story. I think gameplay can enhance an experience, but if the game is really about the story, then I think the gameplay really can only serve to hinder the potential of that story were it to be told in a non-interactive media.
Sure.
Right? Where there's, you know, forced linearity in the storyline.
Right. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, you know, we make, you know, developers, publishers, they make games to make money, right? I mean, they don't care, right? So this is kind of like a very, like, highfalutin, high-level, like, philosophical argument, right?
Your because brow is up on the forehead.
It is
quite
pretty
high.
It's pretty flippin' highbrow. But it's like... You know, if you're going to make something as art, which we recognize that most product in the industry isn't done so, then I think the best thing to do is, you know, you decide, you know, is this thing that I'm creating, is this best expressed as film, as a book, as a painting, as a video game?
As a snuff film? Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's usually what I develop. I'm going to move on with his examples, because... The last one I think is interesting. He says Kingdom Hearts, which we're going to talk about in a second. The Elder Scrolls series. These are all games I didn't play. Guess what? They all have thick stories. GTA, which I have played enough of.
Yep.
But I also argue the point of the story a little bit. Because I think the appeal of that particular game, what makes it so appealing to everybody apparently, has nothing to do with the story. And so, I mean, yeah, it's a game that a lot of people like, but I don't think it's the storyline that held it together. And then Diablo. I didn't recognize that Diablo had a thick story, but I also never really put a lot of play into it, so I could be totally off.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off on judgment on that one.
Yeah. Anyway, he says that I think a good example of gameplay and story is the Half-Life series, and I think we can all agree with that. We all liked Half-Life. It did a really good job of making you feel like you're in that story.
I'm going to save my criticisms for that for another time, too.
Here's the one I want to read all the way through, and I'm just going to blow through it because it's kind of big. Alon and Ara, really enjoy the show. I really should just read this part. Really enjoy the show. I'm out here in Austin, Texas, and listen to the podcast as I commute home from work. It's a hell of a lot better than anything else broadcasting over the city. Now, I don't know if that speaks for Austin, Texas, or if it speaks for our program, but thank you, Ryan. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, I used to live there, you know, and I listened to, what was that, like, KLBJ or whatever?
Crap 101 FM?
No, it was actually, well, it was... We're better than KLBJ.
KRAP 101. All right. So he says, anyway, I had a comment about the multi-purpose device games. Forgive me, my New England, I can speed right through this stuff.
Go for it.
Actually, I just want to bitch about one example, Kingdom Hearts. I hate that game. I saw all of these great reviews just pouring love all over the game. Even have a friend who thinks it's a gift from the gaming gods. So I bought a used copy. I tried to play it. First, the story is very interesting, and I was sure I'd have no problems getting into it. The inclusion of so many familiar Disney and Final Fantasy characters helped to really pull me in. If it wasn't for the horrible gameplay, this would have been a great game. I got as far as Wonderland and just couldn't put up with it any longer. I got seriously pissed at the horribly sloppy controls, the grueling wannabe platform-esque elements, and the just plain inane paths you needed to traverse several times over to complete the tasks. Paths like, and it's the best part, room A, room B, room A, room C, room A, room B, room C, room A, room B, etc., just drove it into the ground. Thank God for YouTube, because I can search for the ending and finish what I'm sure was a fantastic storyline without having to put up with the crappy gameplay. I sold the game back 2 weeks later. Ironically enough, I lost as much money as I would have spent on renting it, which makes me feel a little bit better. Just thinking of it puts me on edge, he says. I might have to go home at lunch and pop in Mario just to get back to normal. Now, interesting email, and seriously hits on the point that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Gameplay got in the way, and he would have rather just put it on movie mode. We had another email where somebody wrote, you know, didn't like the gameplay of Final Fantasy VIII. It's one of my favorite story games, right? And he says, I just couldn't stand having to play it.
Because Titus couldn't stop grunting.
Yeah, because Titus is annoying. But then he refers to how, you know, it was especially annoying the first time he went through the game.
Yeah.
The first time. And I think, oh, that's great, you know. An experience he defined as grating was an experience he wanted to enjoy.
But nevertheless was driven to play repeatedly over and over.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Anyway, we've gotten some whopper emails lately. I appreciate all you guys, really. Like Ari was saying, they're fantastic emails.
Yeah, this is all really good stuff.
We're actually thinking we might set up a section online where you can send emails basically through blogging, and I will selectively, you know, if you're not just putting a crappy spam or something, I'll accept it and post it right on the front page if it's a valuable message that we think other people should read. So I might implement that very soon. I just have to get time on the website.
It'll be like a hyper meta blog.
Yeah. A very formatted blog. I didn't get to the stuff I actually wanted to talk about today, which is good because it'll give me a little bit more time to deal with it. It's very general. And you have a topic you wanted to cover as well that we didn't cover at all. So basically, we don't have to do anything for next week's show. We got all this content ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited. I don't even have to work next Monday.
I mean, and we got 2 minutes to fill up.
Yeah. Now, I got a call from John from Vegas this weekend. He's
This is the John who visited you once.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And he's been listening to the show for a long time.
Is he giving you trouble?
Well, I just thought it was interesting because...
Is he bothering you?
You know, I played that song from Death of the Ancients, or Defense of the Ancients, excuse me. He called specifically because he wanted to talk about that game. And he said he was going to call during the show, but I guess he's too busy working or something. He forgot. He wanted to talk about Defense of the Ancients. So I figure I'll plug that for a second. If anyone didn't take the time to play it, apparently it's good enough for DJ, whatever his name is, to make an entire song about. And John to call me up on like a Sunday night to bug me saying I need to talk about this game. It's a mod for Warcraft 3, and I know that the people at UAT play it a lot. Apparently it's a great game that focuses mostly on the heroes in the game, and it sounds to me like I might even enjoy it, and I stay away from real-time strategy games just because they're very difficult for me.
Is it a Swedish mod?
No. I think what I'm admitting to people is that I'm an inept gamer because I can't handle storyline and I can't handle complex RTS games.
That doesn't make you inept.
I'm an arcade gamer, apparently.
Yes.
I am officially Pop Cappy.
God.
Thank you, Ara. Thank
speechless.
You, Andrew. We will be back next week. Credits are about to roll. Come back. We have a lot to talk about, and send more emails. We'll implement something on the website. It'll be great. ChatterboxGameshow.com. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass belong to us.